Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Get it, girl. Get
again,
it.
Doing weird things with my hands because that's just what happens here.
Welcome
to another week of AfterBuzz TV's Monday Night Football After Show. I'm your host, Christina Kaplan. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Tina Cap. And beside me, my beautiful co-host.
What's up, guys? I'm Steph Z. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter at IAMSCEFZ. I'd love to hear from you.
Oh, she would.
I'll write you back, yo. I'm just saying.
She ain't too cool.
Mm-mm.
She ain't too cool.
Mm-mm.
Actually, though, I want to talk to you about how was your interview with Clipper Daryl?
Oh!
I saw him. If you guys don't know who Clipper Daryl is, if you're not in the LA area, he attends every single Los Angeles Clippers basketball game in full Clipper regalia, like a full three-piece suit that's like red and blue that says Clippers all over it. And he's become their unofficial mascot. And so Steph just did a really cool interview with him on his podcast, or what was it for?
Actually, he was on another sports show that I do. He was a guest on it, and he asked me to be a guest on his show. So I did his Fan Truth radio show at Dash Radio, and we talked about, you know, some of the things happening in sports, and he was interviewing me on being a Jets fan and why, and you know, he loves how much I love the Jets. So we talked about the Jets, his Clippers. We had a ping pong challenge, and the loser has to wear the other team's stuff head to toe.
Won?
We didn't play yet. So it was just, it happened. But he's amazing in what he does, and you know, he really loves his team, and it was really fun.
Yeah,
Thanks for asking. I didn't even know you saw it.
Yeah, no, because I follow him. Obviously, I follow you on Twitter and Instagram, but I follow him as well. And I kept seeing him post about, like, all these photos of you, like he was about to interview you. And I'm like, oh, that's my girl.
Yeah, so it was super fun. He's super rad.
Yeah, so. I met him before, too. He's a nice guy, and it's funny because he's just so into his team. And it's great to have fans like that.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of cool because I'm not super affiliated with a basketball team.
Yeah.
So I'm going to a Clippers game on Friday.
Oh, fun. Who do they play?
I think they're playing the Pelicans.
Cool. They should be able to win.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, they're in a kind of a slump, so we'll see.
I know.
Anyway.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
Go Lakers.
Anyway, what are you 2-12? What is this?
Something like that.
Crazy.
Maybe.
Anyway,
let's get back to football.
Yeah, all right.
We're on to Monday Night Football, Bills at Patriots.
Yeah.
Which could have been an epic matchup. Should have been an epic matchup. It was
interesting.
It wasn't horrible.
Yeah, it was interesting. For me, it was interesting. I really liked the Bills defense. You know, you got Rex Ryan behind there, and he knows and studies the Patriots, you know, coming from the Jets. Like, and we always, as the Jets, gave the Patriots a run for their money. The Bills gave them a run for their money. But the Patriots, at the end of the day, even though the Bills' D shut their offense down, their run game down, so to speak, they hit Tom Brady down, what, 11 times or something like that? So it's like they captivate on that, but in the same sense, the Patriots make teams beat themselves.
Yep.
And that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, it was a bummer because I felt like I definitely agree with you on that point, and I felt like the Bills defense played great throughout the game for the most part. They had a little bit like that blown coverage at the end of the first half that allowed for that Patriots touchdown.
Yeah.
But
which again came off of a missed field goal.
Yes.
So the Patriots capitalized on opportunities that come and the Bills kind of weren't.
Right. And so I felt like the Bills defense was really putting their, you know, best foot forward, so to speak. But the offense, they couldn't really do much in that second half.
Yeah.
They weren't having luck. And then, of course, at the end there, Tyrod Taylor got injured, which had a lot to do with you know, his ability and capability to throw the ball.
But
and
it was interesting
that
once he got hurt, he threw like a perfect on point pass. You know, a lot of his balls were underthrown, overthrown, whatever. And as soon as he was hurt, he like threw a couple right on point. And I was like, that's interesting.
But then you could tell too that a lot of his, like, it was taking everything in him to get that ball to someone.
Yeah.
And they weren't going far.
Yeah. True.
Which I think, what do you think about that judgment call by Rex Ryan to not put EJ Manuel in when Tyrod Taylor's clearly injured? He's grabbing at his collarbone
the
whole time.
It was interesting because when we saw Emmanuel practicing, you know, warming up on the sideline, I actually, when it was like 46 seconds or whatever it was, I actually thought they were going to put him in, and I actually thought it was a good play because they were having problems with the headsets. You get a quarterback in there that's a little bit more veteran, that's been playing with the Bills a little bit longer, and in case that happens, he can just call the plays on the fly. Like, I thought that was maybe some of the thought process behind it. Like, yes, he was hurt as well, but I thought maybe, okay, let, that made me feel a little bit confident. Because it's not, you know, it's not like you're putting in, you know, a rookie quarterback in that situation because somebody else is hurt. You know, granted, he's been struggling, and that's why Taylor's starting, but I feel like, you know, he might have the smarts or to be able to navigate through those situations a little bit better.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I thought that, I mean, I'm sure what happened is Tyrod probably said, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Don't take me out. I'm fine. And, you know, they're gonna agree with him and let him stay in when really probably he should have come out.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, it's a tough call because maybe he comes out and EJ hasn't thrown a ball the entire night. And yeah, he warmed up for a little bit, but he's going into a pivotal point of the game where you're expecting him to make perfect plays. And
You're like damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah, totally. So it's a bummer. I guess we'll find out probably in the next day what happened, if it's anything serious with Tyrod. Hopefully not. I like him. I think it's nice to see that he's finally, like, because he's been in the league for a little while, a couple years. And
just not, this is the first year with the Bills, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and
he was
Emmanuel's
behind Flacco at the Ravens, I think.
You're right. And Emmanuel's been with the Bills for, what, three seasons?
I think three.
Yeah, so that's, you know.
So, yeah, it's nice to see him actually finally come into his own as a quarterback, since he hasn't really had the opportunity to shine like people thought he would out of college.
Right.
Coming out of Virginia Tech, where he went there because he's from that area and because Michael Vick went there, and he went and broke all Michael Vick's records. And I thought that was kind of cool. They mentioned that on the broadcast today, too. But anyways, yeah. So, all right, we talked about Tyrod a little bit. What was your overall sense of how he played prior to the injury? Do you think that he had a strong outing tonight, or do you think that he...
No, I don't. I feel like there was a lot of, you know, underthrown, overthrown, side thrown. Like, there was a lot of balls that were not on point. The receivers got open. There was a lot of missed opportunities because the ball was in the wrong spot. And, I mean, I get it. If you throw the ball behind the guy, you're trying to get the pass interference call, and they got it a couple times. But in the same sense, if you put that ball out just a little bit further, they'll catch it and go. And they had the opportunities to do that, and it just didn't work.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's crazy how... I mean, it's not crazy. It's very, it's obvious how important a quarterback is to a team, but sometimes it blows my mind at how you can have great surrounding pieces, but if you don't have a quarterback, and you see this, I mean, you saw it with the Jets. I mean, they're still struggling. I mean, Fitzpatrick is doing okay, but
without
having like a solid, good, like really good quarterback, it doesn't matter how good the rest of your team is.
No, it's the same thing. I mean, you flip that around. You look at Tom Brady, who I love to hate, but in the same sense, like, he's a strong quarterback. So when they miss the field goal and there's 46 seconds left or whatever was left, he's going to get a touchdown in that time because he's confident. He's got it. He's been with that organization for forever. You know, I mean, it's just, it's night and day. And that's exactly, I mean, there's a reason why the quarterback is, you know, I mean, I don't know. Do you think the quarterback's the most important player on the field? I would think.
Yeah.
I think arguably,
I agree. You could say arguably, but I don't really think many people would argue that point because who else commands the field, calls the plays, is the person that touches the ball more than the quarterback. Is the center is the only person that touches the ball as much as the quarterback. And all he has to do, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle the center position, but, you know, he blocks for the quarterback. He doesn't make the plays and decide, oh, I can't throw here. He's double covered and I got to change my game plan. I got to get out of the pocket. I got to run over to the side here. Oh, I got to just sprint there's so much that goes through the mind of a quarterback that controls the entire game.
Right.
That's why it's such an important position.
Yeah.
So you're right. You saw the difference in, you know, a veteran, solid, I don't even know if you'd say above average, like a very good quarterback in Tom Brady.
Top three.
Yeah, definitely. And then you see, you know, Tyrod, who's had a decent year, but he's nowhere near at the level of Tom Brady. And
you see, I mean, in the beginning of the game, you see Tom Brady was pissed.
Oh, he was so mad.
He was so mad. And it's like funny because I was at the bar watching the game and these guys next to me were like, you know, look at him. He's being so disrespectful to his teammates, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, maybe he's being just like whatever and yelling at his players, but they're still winning ball games. So they're listening to him. So what would you rather have? You know, they're all grown men. It's a business. You know what I mean? Like, what would you rather have? That guy that's fired up and pissed off when a play doesn't happen, or the guy that's like, all right, and then just goes back and looks at the little, you know, surface thing and whatever. You know, you want that. I want that guy. I would want Tom Brady to be my quarterback for just that.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, with the loss of Deion Lewis and Julian Edelman, Brady's kind of left with...
And we lost Amendola tonight.
Yeah, well, but prior to the game, right. I'm saying coming into this game, Brandon LaFell is a decent receiver, but
He's not consistent.
Yeah, he's not consistent.
He makes great plays, but he's not consistent.
And then LeGarrette Blount, I feel, is the same way.
Yeah.
You know, he can have a breakout, awesome, great game, but more often than not, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And
you know who was really silent tonight?
Sammy Watkins?
No. Well, for the Patriots.
Oh, who?
Gronkowski.
Yes.
One play.
He did not score a touchdown.
No, and he had one good play. Like one big catch with a run, and he dropped a couple were thrown bad, and Tom Brady was throwing the ball into the ground so much tonight.
Yeah.
So much. So that deep pressure was really, you know, he felt it.
Do you remember who was covering Gronk? Was it possibly what's his name?
I wrote it down actually.
Was it Stephon Gilmore? Cuz he, I felt like, had a very good game for the Bills tonight.
I don't know where it is, but, yep, Gilmore, he broke up the play.
Yeah, he played really well tonight. He had that play where he broke it up, then he, caught the intercepted the ball, I should say, whatever, and made a lot of kind of critical plays on defense, so.
Yeah.
As Malcolm Butler was covering Sammy Watkins, and you didn't see anything from Sammy tonight for the most part, except for that awesome one-handed grab.
Yeah.
Maybe on the flip side, it was the same with Gilmore on Gronk, and that's why. But that's surprising that you can quiet Gronk with just one player like that. I don't remember seeing much double coverage on him, did you?
There was some, yeah, but I feel like in the same sense, it wasn't like, you know, you've got these people, and again, like, I go back to the Jets just because I watch the games always thoroughly, but, like, you got people that, you know, Brandon Marshall, who's getting triple teamed every single time, like, they're not doing that to Gronkowski.
Right.
He's just not, and again, I think it was almost half and half of him missing the passes and Tom Brady's ball not being where it needed to be, which you don't really see from Tom Brady.
I know.
So he was feeling the pressure.
He definitely was, which is surprising because I feel like the Patriots' offensive line has not allowed that too much this season.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think it's definitely the most times Tom Brady's been hit in a game thus far, I believe.
I'd have to agree. Do we have fantasy stats guru, Ben?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see our chat roll up there. If you guys could put our chat roll up there,
Ben,
that'd be great.
If you know... If this is true, please tweet us or something.
Yeah, and Tom Brady had one interception tonight.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how many targets Gronk had. 7 targets. That's probably pretty low for him for a game.
Yeah, but and what was his stats, though?
2 receptions and 37 yards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Really bad. I bet you I would put money that that's probably his worst game this season as well.
Yeah.
for Gronk.
Is doing everything.
Oh, okay. Ben says they were doubling over the top on Gronk the whole time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, fair enough. But
and
still,
you're right. Tom Brady is doing everything with nobody. That's what we were saying. You know, that he doesn't really have any weapons. Even though, honestly, Julian Edelman, like, he's okay. He's not that great. But Tom Brady makes him great. It's just like, I feel like, I mean, Eric Decker's having a great couple of seasons with the Jets. He's not like...
He's consistent.
He's consistent. But Peyton Manning made him a better receiver.
Yes.
When he was on the Broncos. I feel like that's what happens with Julian Edelman. If Edelman was on any other team with... let's put him on the Bills with Tyrod Taylor. He's not nowhere near the numbers that he has with Tom Brady.
Right.
I think I even wrote them down because Edelman and Deion Lewis together combined for the majority of the Patriots. Where is it? Yeah. So they have 33,878 scrimmage yards this season. Edelman and Lewis combined for 1,337 of those scrimmage yards.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a big loss for them losing both of those guys.
Right.
But like I said.
Again, yeah. And this is the season of the injury.
Yeah.
So many people are injured. You know what I thought was, something to make note of? Do you see when Tom Brady got that one hit? And then they were talking about all the concussions and stuff.
Yes.
And I was surprised that because of what happened yesterday to Bradford. Was it Bradford?
No, it was I saw them show that replay.
Who was it? Anyway, that they didn't make him, you know, make sure he didn't have that. Because he got up and he was shook.
Well, yeah, because he got up and then he fell down again and, like, his arm was dead. Like, you could tell that he most definitely got a concussion.
Yeah, I wonder.
I know. I remember watching them show that replay, and now I can't think of which quarterback it was.
Yeah.
Ben? We're like, Ben, tell us.
Yeah. Ben needs to come back. But, you know, had a great game for the Bills, Hogan.
Yes.
He came through.
That I wrote him down on there as like, oh, hello, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Because I guess because Butler had such tight coverage on Sammy that was kind of his only option was to throw it over to Hogan.
Oh, Keenum, that's right.
Yes, Case Keenum, yeah.
Keenum.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. You're the best.
Yeah, so I guess that was really his only option was to go to Hogan. And I felt like it took them a while to catch on to the fact that he was just getting wide open looks.
Yeah,
the whole
no,
time.
I agree with you.
So, I don't know. I mean,
it was also, they had the Patriots field goal kicker had 52 consecutive field goals at home until tonight.
Gronkowski,
yeah. They both missed one field goal. Now, the other thing with Carpenter, with the Bills place kicker, whatever you want to call him, field goal kicker, you know, I feel like it's crazy how many times people kick the pole, like hit the actual pole of the upright. His ball hit both.
I know.
Doesn't happen.
I know.
That was crazy.
Yeah, and... It seemed like it was in the trajectory of going through the field goal, like no big deal. And then it just kind of veered.
It was windy there, they said.
Yeah. I don't know. It was crazy. I mean, that's what's so difficult about being a kicker. And I know everyone always likes to make fun of the kickers and say that they're not real football players.
The only job they have to do is kick the ball.
Whatever. But you put yourself in that situation where you can practice as much as you want, but sometimes stuff happens.
Well, yeah.
And
it's 20 degrees out. The wind's blowing.
And if you kick that ball like a fraction of, you know, a little inch to the left of what you normally do, you know, you could miss it easily.
Yeah.
And that's just, you're not perfect. Stuff you know?
No, I get it. I'm not hating on kickers ever.
No, I wasn't saying that you were, but I'm just, a lot of people like to do that and say, oh, if he would have just made that kick, it would have been a different game, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's tough. I can't imagine being a kicker, all that pressure.
No, it's a lot. But I mean, again, too, that's why you're in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, how many kickers are there across all 32 teams? What total? There's 100 guys that are getting paid millions of dollars to kick a freaking ball through an upright.
True.
You know, I mean, there's two sides of that, I think.
True.
Just saying.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm just saying. Can't handle the heat. Get out of the kitchen.
Yes. All in all, though, this was a very close game in the Patriots' you know, standard of Patriots standards, because the first game that they played in week two, the Bills lost 40-32.
Right.
And Tom Brady threw for over 400 yards or something against them, which is the most any quarterback has thrown against a Rex Ryan defense.
Yeah.
I think Drew Brees was the second most, and that was in like 2012 or something. So they held them to 20 points, which is good.
Yeah.
And theoretically, there were a couple plays. I mean, really, actually, it probably should have been 27 because of that blown call by the refs.
Oh, my goodness. We got to talk about the refs.
They were so bad tonight.
I mean, what so is bad. Going on? How do they rectify that? Like, how do tomorrow there not be talk about the fact that what was that whistle that was then earlier than the catch? So I get it. The Patriots fans should be pissed that they didn't get that Amendola, because Amendola was still in at that point.
Yeah.
He caught it. He could have probably got a touchdown. The guy's quick. He's like squirrely. He gets around people.
Yeah.
But the whistle was blown. The ball was clearly not caught. That makes it an incomplete pass if the ref does screw up. Like, that's what the rule book says.
Right.
Then on top of that, at the end of the game, he got out of bounds. They should have had 2 seconds left.
They screwed the Bills a couple times at the end of that game. First, he got out of bounds. First, when they called that, they were going to review that first down that they called. They said Robert Woods got the first down. Then they let all this time bleed.
It was like 10 seconds.
Wait, we're going to review now. And then never put the time back on the clock. Then, Sammy Watkins was out, and they could have had one Hail Mary attempt at the end there.
I'm not saying if the situation was turned around, I would feel more like, you know, like if the situation was completely turned around and it was the Patriots that got cheated at the end, like if the teams were complete opposite, I would be like, man, ooh, thank God Tom Brady could. Like, I'm not saying that Taylor would have thrown an interception. Tom Brady would have, a touchdown pass with 2 seconds left. Tom Brady definitely has a better chance at doing that. But in the same sense, it was very, very bad refereeing tonight.
Yeah.
There's always bad calls, and it's part of the game, and I get all these reviews and all these things that they put in place to try and make it more fair, but today was bad.
Yeah, it wasn't like bad calls, it was just dumb calls, you know? Like, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't like
are
questionable.
You watching? Especially at the end there, you even pointed out that ref was standing right in front of the play.
I mean, like, literally right there. Like, right in front of it, and said no, and then it got overturned.
Yeah. And Carlos Williams didn't score tonight, did he? I don't think so. I think it was just...
I don't think so either.
LeSean McCoy. So, that breaks his streak. He was on pace for having the most consecutive games with a touchdown to begin his career in NFL history. He went 6 straight games. Tonight would have been 7, and he would have overcome, or he would have been the number one on that list. Unfortunately, he stays tied with Robert Edwards, who actually was a Patriot.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But he didn't have a great game at all.
No. You know who else didn't have a great game? McKelvin.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know what, though? Again, they've said it so many times during the game. They said that this game, when it's that cold, the ball gets slippery. Which I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's getting dewy and freezing. Like, I'm not sure exactly why. I'm sure somebody made sure that the balls were inflated tonight, because this is when the Patriots like to do that. But
shots fired.
I'm just saying. But no, I feel like that was, and they kept saying it, and we definitely did see that. I mean, on that one kickoff, both teams fumbled.
Yeah.
You don't see that. Like, this game, it was almost like you could have a whole bloopers reel in this, from the players to the refs to the coaches, Rex Ryan on the field. I thought he was going to get thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
You can't walk onto the field when you're a coach like that. Like, that's just crazy.
I know. You're right. It was, there were a lot of kind of scratch your head plays, like, or just things that happened. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. People's brains are frozen.
Yeah. I don't know what, did they say how cold it was out there?
I think it was like 29 degrees. And it felt like 20 with the wind chill or something like that, which is crazy.
Yeah. Not cool.
No.
Where was my
You could reverse that. That was our temperature today, 92 probably.
I know. For all of you that are not in California, we just got, it got really cold all of a sudden. Now the last couple of days it's been 90 in the 90s. Now next week it's supposed to be 57 again. I just don't understand what's going on. Global warming.
Oh yeah, fantasy stats guru Ben. Yes, I definitely feel like McKelvin is in the suck bucket 100% suck bucket.
Because who else could you put there?
The refs. It's either the refs or McKelvin.
But I think McKelvin definitely.
Yeah.
Because he dropped two passes or two punts tonight, didn't
he?
Well, he recovered that last one, thankfully, but then it put them in horrible field position.
But I think he was trying to do a fair catch anyway.
Yeah, and but he still, but he wasn't even close to the 20-yard line. So where he dropped, where he fell, I think that's where they put the ball, right?
Yeah, and then they fumbled again, but it actually helped them out because it stopped the clock because they recovered. Yeah. Not that you ever want to try that as a strategy.
Yeah, no, probably not the best. What? How were our predictions last week?
I don't even remember.
I know. I was thinking, I was like, wait.
I feel like I picked the Bills.
Yeah, we all picked the Bills, so we all lost that one.
Okay.
The Cardinals beat the Bengals, so you lost because you chose the Bengals.
All right. And I picked the Jets, so I'm 0-3.
The Jets lost.
All right. I'm just going to not pick anymore.
That's okay. I don't know. Is Ben actually keeping track? I don't think so because we haven't been very good with our predictions this season.
No. You got two wrong and one right.
I did.
Everyone picked. Oh, who picked the Texans?
No, Matthew picked the Texans, so he got two out of three right.
All right. Fine, Matt.
Good job, Matt.
Good job.
If you're watching.
Yeah, the Twingers.
The Twingers. Hashtag Twingers.
I heard today was Kick a Ginger Day. Someone was saying that, and I was like, what?
You're thinking about our twin juice.
The first thing I thought is, nobody better kick my new best friends.
Yeah.
I'll be pissed.
I'll be real pissed. We'll kick whoever kicks our twin juice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Next week, we have...
Are we doing picks already?
Let's get into predictions.
All righty.
Where's my schedule?
Next week... You're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. The Bills play the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Ooh, they're both fighting for a playoff spot. The Chiefs are kind of on fire. I'm going to pick the Chiefs.
Fire.
Shut it.
Okay, and then the Patriots, where is their schedule?
Ugh, please play someone that's you're going to beat.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, about the Patriots is they haven't really played anyone.
They haven't played any winning teams. Yeah, I mean, everyone's talking about how they're undefeated. If you look back to 2007, when they had the same type schedule, that's how it rotates every 8 years. That was when they were undefeated, 16-0.
Yeah,
and they didn't win the Super Bowl. It's like they're not playing. It's not like they had to play the Broncos and the Cardinals and Seattle and teams that are actually good and winning. They're playing teams that, like,
they played the Steelers. They played the Bills in week two. They played the Jags. They played the Cowboys, Colts, Jets, Dolphins, Redskins, Giants, Bills this next week.
I don't think anyone has over a 500 record out of all those teams.
Now the problem with this coming week of them going to play the Broncos in Denver is that Brock Osweiler is at quarterback, so Peyton Manning is out.
Well, that's good for the Broncos.
No, that increases the Patriots' chances. Brock Osweiler is nowhere near as good as Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning's been sucking it. What are you talking about? He threw four interceptions and he's hurt the week before last when they benched him.
Oh, there he is. Ben says, I'm 3-6? Really?
Oh.
And Steph's 5-12? How do I have six less picks than her?
I don't know.
And then he's picking the Pats over the Broncos. I'm picking the Pats over the Broncos, too, because I just don't think that...
I'm going to pick the Broncos.
Okay.
I honestly, I have to pick against the Patriots, and I don't care if I lose. I just pick with my heart. But in the same sense, I feel like Osweiler is going to be good, man. He's been learning under Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning really just needs to set back and help this guy and coach him through it and give him his support. Peyton Manning is done in my book. And all those people out there, I understand that you might hate what I'm saying, but he's hurt. He's been consistently hurt. He's come back from such an injury, and he made such a good run after such a serious injury. Now it's just like he's getting hurt and then hurt. You know, he's
like
a little
Kobe
bit.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, he's a little bit fragile. And you know what? You know, he threw four interceptions two games ago. Yeah. You got to go out on a high note, man. Let it go.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Even saying that he's going to play again next year, even if he signed with the 49ers or some trash. I heard them talking about. Someone said something like that today, and I was just like, no, he needs to stop.
Yeah.
It's time. When it's time, it's time.
Yeah, I agree.
So anyway, so I got the Chiefs and the Broncos. Who are you picking, the Chiefs or the Bills?
I'm going to go with the Bills just to it interesting, and I'll take the Patriots.
All right. And what's that last game? Who's
Monday
night?
Oh, next Monday night. Oh, shoot. I don't know. Let me look it up. I forgot to write it down. I apologize. Okay.
I think it's the Ravens play. I don't know.
No, next Monday is, yeah, Ravens and Browns. You're right.
Flacco's out and Forsett's out.
I know. So that actually will be an interesting.
I'm going to pick the Browns.
Are you?
I mean, Flacco and Forsett are out.
I know.
Who they got then? Who's going to be their number ones? You tell me. Tell me why I should pick them.
All right, I'll go Browns too.
Okay.
I think it's a safe bet there.
Yeah.
Chiefs and Browns over Ravens. Yeah. Yeah, we agree with you.
Yeah. All right, sweet.
All right, we got our picks. Steph, if people want to chat with you.
You guys can find me at IAMSTEFZ on all the social media stuff platforms.
And you can find me at Tina Kapp on all the social media stuff platforms. And we'll
look
see
at you. See, learning from Yvette.
Yeah, always. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.